So I apologize if I am on this stuff. Thank you all for being here. My goodness, I said this is maybe the largest crowd I've seen in Brown County since COVID. So I'm just really thrilled to see everybody here to discuss an issue of really community importance. So thank you all just for being here. My name is Amy Oliver. I am the moderator tonight. I am here just to make sure we get the questions going and kind of just keep everything good. We are going to be keeping this to an hour. So if somebody, I don't know, Scott's here, give me the motion when we're at an hour, because we do want to be respectful of your time. And we want to make sure that I'm just going to go ahead and do an introduction of myself and then a little bit about what we're going to do tonight. As I said, I'm an attorney, I'm a mediator, I'm a former teacher, and I've been a resident here since 1997, this time. And I currently serve on the Brown County School Board, and I will be the moderator. The Nashville Brown County Convention and Visitors Bureau, as you all know, called the CVB, has a 40-year history of making significant marketing contributions to visitors, services, and tourism. So the plan for tonight is that we are going to be the first discussion. This is one of the first discussions because there will be more. And we're going to try to talk about what is the best path forward for the CVB. And we want to make sure that we are, being true to that. And we're also going to be talking about the CVC, Convention and Visitors Commission. Did I get that right? Okay. I'm still learning the acronyms. I apologize. And as community members, then we want to try to figure out what is the structure and what is the direction to improve Brown County's marketing. This is a big picture night. We're going to talk about some of the big picture issues, and we have a couple of experts here who have done something that is like this in the past. Tonight, I want to be clear that we have a panel tonight. We have a couple of speakers. We're not going to do public comments here tonight. If you have something, you're sitting there and you're like, boy, I just really thought of that. We have some pieces of paper in the back. And we also have a survey in the back that we want you to fill out before you leave tonight. That's important because we're going to use those questions for our next meeting. And those are going to be smaller group meetings in which there's going to be more discussion. And that's why we want your questions for those. So these are kind of the big picture questions, but as you were sitting here thinking about the things that are important to your business and to your lives, we want to make sure those are included, and that will be included in the next discussion. Tonight, the order tonight is going to be starting with Brian Tadlock, who's the current chair of the Brown County Convention and Visitors Bureau. And then we are going to have a presentation. You can see some of the work behind us from the marketing group called 360 Group with Eric Murray and Maddie Brooks. After that, we're going to have some of our distinguished panelists here. We have Elaine Beadle and Dan Bortner, who are from the state. And we have Lynn Letzinger-Miller, who is the president of the Art Gallery Foundation. We're going to let each of them do their own bios when we get to that point. So we're just really glad to have you here tonight. Thank you so much for coming. As I said, I'm always glad to be in person again, so that's exciting. We are going to be, the next step is going to be, again, these roundtable discussions with those questions. So we really need that. Like, we really want you to write down your questions, and then we're gonna make sure those are part of the next session. So I want to start out now with introducing Brian Tadlock, who is the current chair of the CVB board, and he's going to come up and give us a bit of an introduction tonight.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you all to the historic Brown County Playhouse. And as mentioned, my name is Brian Tadlock, and my wife and I moved to Brown County 7 years ago after purchasing our very first tourist rental. And we've grown from there. This past March, I had the opportunity to join the CBB and become chairman this past July. Tonight we get to begin the discussion of how to move our organization forward, but need help from you, our clients. It's our intent to discover the ideal structure of how you want our beautiful county marketed. And that begins with this amazing group of individuals who will speak with us tonight. So thank you for coming. Before we get started, let's talk about where we've been. Brown County began its journey as a tourist destination in 1907, when T.C. Steele decided to make his summer home in Belmont his full-time residence. Artists soon followed, and in turn, housing, services, and fun things to do were needed for them. In the years that followed, with the end of World War II, families that had taken root in the community continued to service tourists with shops, restaurants, and lodging. Bill Monroe began hosting bluegrass festivals, and the Little Nashville Opry was opened. All of them welcomed tourism with a common theme: embrace change while maintaining the culture that makes Brown County what it is. Our visitors come here to step away from their daily life and the hustle and bustle of the city. But like any of us, when we go somewhere, there is always that someone who says, "What do you want to do today?" In 1984, the state of Indiana passed into law the innkeeper's tax. What is innkeeper's tax? It's a 5% tax collected from overnight stays in a physical location. For example, a hotel, inn, or short-term rental. That money may be used only to promote and encourage conventions, visitors, and tourism within the county. Those types of expenses may include, but are not limited to, advertising, promotional activities, trade shows, special events, and recreation. The innkeeper's tax is distributed by the Convention and Visitors Commission. And in 1984, the Convention and Visitors Bureau was established and contracted by the CBC to market tourism in Brown County, including oversight of the visitor center. More heads and beds means more funds to market, support, and grow tourism in our county. As times have changed and our visitors ponder that question of what do you want to do today, new industries have emerged, and those that call Brown County home have been at the forefront of bringing new generations here and the older ones back. The world is more connected than ever. Several of our businesses want to connect with their customers in different ways, and there are so many technologies out there that will allow us to connect them all. It leaves us asking, what is the best way the Convention and Visitors Bureau can aid our hospitality industry? Today, I'm excited to begin that future with all of you, so we can help millions of visitors come right here where escape comes naturally. Thank you for coming.
Now we're going to welcome to the stage Eric Marie from the 360 Marketing Group.
Thank you very much, Amy. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Great job, Ryan. Thank you for that. My name is Eric Murray. I'm with 360 Group. I'm one of the owners of 360 Group. And we're a full-service marketing and advertising agency that's been serving Brown County for over a decade, 13 years exactly. I'm really grateful to Brian. Brian asked me to come tonight and be a part of this great event, and just to share a little bit about 360 Group and the current advertising and marketing that we're doing on behalf of Brown County, just to sort of set a benchmark of where we're at and what we're doing and give you an idea. The big thing that's really cool, and you've seen the photos that have been showing in the background, is that people have been coming here for over a century. You know, Brian just mentioned that. there's a lot here to celebrate. There's a lot that's worth celebrating. And we at 360 Group, I know, share the same feelings with the board that we're privileged and honored to be able to have that opportunity. It's a really special thing. Can you believe that there was an elephant walking down Main Street at one point? Did you guys see that? And today there's just so much to share with the world, and we're really excited to do it. A little bit about 360 Group. We've been serving for over 13 years, so we've really had a front row seat, and I've been a part of all of those 13 years. We've really had a front row seat to all of the marketing that's gone on in Brown County. And we've seen a lot of change, and we've seen a lot of different things and a lot of new and exciting things happen, and we're really excited to be part of more new stuff. This is just a little bit about our group back at our office. There's 16 of us at 360 Group. We're comprised of writers and graphic designers and media buyers and specialists and producers that help us pull off everything that we do for you. And we're going to show you a few just greatest hits of things that we've done in the past, and then show you what we're doing currently. One cool thing about us is 360 Group has been in business for over 60 years. We think we're the oldest continuously operating advertising agency in the state of Indiana. We've never sold to anybody outside. I'm amongst the third generation of ownership, and every generation of owners have been employees within the group. We're very proud of that. We actually started with the line that Brian just ended with, Escape Comes Naturally, and the logo. So we've really been here from the beginning. We've done social media content, a lot of social media content. I think some of the people who are in a lot of our videos, there are a lot of friendly faces in the audience tonight. You probably see yourself up there. Maddie, you can skip to the next slide. Thank you. We've done a lot more than just advertising. We've done a lot of installations around the town. We've done a lot of map making and place making. One little small fun fact, the soaring sculpture that's in front of the old visitor center on Main Street was actually something that was born out of our office. We do a lot of merchandise in the visitor center. We just completed a total overhaul of the website. We've marketed mountain biking. This was an initiative of a few years ago. We've done print advertising all over the Midwest. We helped our friends at the Brown County Music Center with their name and logo. And here's some examples of some radio. I don't know if we have audio for this. If we do, it'd be great. If not, that's okay. But Maddie, can you play Workday Wanderlust? Let's see if this works.
Another day stuck in this office. I need a break. Is there somewhere I could go for a few days? Somewhere I could really get out and not spend a fortune? Oh yeah, browncounty.com. Huh. Wow, that's close and gorgeous. And I can afford it, especially during the week. Fewer people and so many places to stay. I could work remotely from the front porch of my cabin or take calls from a B&B in town. Then hit the trail, dust off that old mountain bike, take out a kayak, or take in a show. And all these bars and restaurants, man, good thing I'm bringing the bike. Okay, I'm doing it. And booked.
Feeling the workday wanderlust? Come live like a local and go to browncounty.com to plan your midweek getaway now. Brown County, Indiana, where escape comes naturally.
That spot aired in WTTS in central Indiana. I'm happy to report that just finished a week ago. And it coincided with giveaways, enter to win tickets, and overnight stays. And it's been the highest performing ad that we've created. One of the things that's really cool about that is we worked really closely with the board. We identified that a big thing that we could be doing strategy-wise is to target midweek vacations to all of the folks who now have the opportunity to work from wherever they want. There's a lot of white-collar workers who work remotely and can work from anywhere. So as you can hear, that spot really took advantage of that. And like I said, we're really proud that it seems to be performing better than any radio spot we've ever produced, which is pretty cool. Maddie, you don't have to play the other ones. You can skip ahead. I think we have a video next. This is a short video we produced for social media and connected television. It's only 15 seconds long.
Our days are filled with possibilities. And in Brown County, Indiana, the possibilities are endless. What will you explore while you're here? Plan your escape today at browncounty.com.
It's a very short video. It's really nice, though. We got to capture a lot of great moments there. We turned this into like 100 pieces of social media content that's been running all year long. Let's talk about the current marketing strategy, and then we can move on. Right now, in the 13 years that I've worked on this account, we've done everything from focusing on Indianapolis and the Indianapolis area, and northern Indiana and Hamilton County, to now we're really focusing on two key markets. This is something that we've come up with the current board of directors, and what we're doing is we're focusing on Cincinnati and Louisville. We're really focusing on those markets to try and educate them about Brown County and the opportunities that are here. I really love that graphic down at the bottom right. Both of those are within a two-hour drive of Brown County, which makes it a prime place to market. We're targeting specific demographics within those counties through social media, digital media, and we're following them where they go. We've been targeting Cincinnati since 2018 and Louisville since 2022. Now we'll show you some results of that. In that time, we've generated almost 82 million media impressions. That's a lot of impressions. An impression is anytime somebody sees one of our ads. And in just 2 years, this is one of our key performance indicators. This is how we measure success. There have been 17,000 downloads of our digital getaway guide. And in order to download that guide, you have to give us your email address. So we've also captured 41,185 email subscribers. That's a captive audience of Brown County lovers that we can market to over time. And we're really proud of that number. And Maddie Brooks, who's working the projector, thank you so much. She's really the mastermind behind growing that number. And then the proof is in this last point here. This year, Ohio and Kentucky regions are currently number 2 and number 3 after Indiana on visits to the website. And of those regions, 45% of them we can see came directly from our advertising, meaning they clicked an ad and ended up at the website. So it's pretty cool that we're driving all of these people to the website. That's it. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, Brian. Thank you for inviting me in. And also, too, I just want to say, just as I've been here for 13 years and observing this, I think this is really, really great what the current board is doing. A mantra in our office is if you be a good listener, the work takes care of itself. And I think what the current board is doing and creating opportunities to listen is just a really, really wonderful thing. I'm privileged and honored that I get to play a part of it. Thank you.
For those introductions. I think those were really helpful for us to see what's been happening with tourism here over the last 13 years and more. So thank you for that. I would like to go to our panelists now. We have here today Elaine Beadle. She is the Secretary and CEO of the Indiana Destination Development Corporation. We have Lynn Letzinger Miller, who you all know. She is the president of the Brown County Art Gallery Foundation. And we have Dan Portner, who is the director of the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. So I think we're just going to do a quick round here of tell us about yourselves and just let us know, you know, a little bit about you, and then we'll get into the questions.
Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity. Happy to be with all of you here. Thank you for giving up your time this evening to share it with us. I'm Elaine Beadle, as mentioned, and I'm a governor appointee. I was appointed by the governor in 2017 when he came into office to be president of the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. But in 2019, legislation was passed to create a new entity called the Indiana Destination Development Corporation, and he asked me at that point in time to move over and kind of lead the formation of that group. And the IDDC, say it for short, instead of going through the long name, replaced the Indiana Office of Tourism Development. But we still see getting visitors to Indiana, getting visitors to Nashville is still a big part of what we need to do. And all the numbers show that if you get people here, we change their perspective of what Indiana's all about. Because if they've never been here, usually it's not that they have a negative perception, it's just basically no perception. And once they get here, that's totally turned around, and we've got survey numbers I can share later that show that. So that's what I've been doing now for the 4 years that the IDDC has been in existence. We started July 1st of 2020, and we'll get more into that later. Prior to joining the Holcomb administration, I have a wealth management firm, Beadle Financial Consulting, in Indianapolis that got started a few decades ago, 35 years. So anyway, thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, we moved here in 1981, and my actual background was in television, and we worked at Channel 6, but I always had an interest in the arts, and eventually became involved with the Brown County Art Gallery, and I've been president of the foundation there for 15 years. One thing that I can speak to and will later is taking a small organization that the gallery was and turning it into something that's become very significant, and maybe some ideas on how that happened and how it might apply to the CDB. I think that a strong CDB is really, really important, and I believe that there needs to be representation from all the stakeholders in the county, including the nonprofits.
Good evening. My name is Dan Borner. I'm the director of the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. Thank you for having us tonight. It's always good to be able to talk to folks where we have progress and things. I'm relatively boring, so I won't say a whole lot about me. I've been with the agency for maybe 20 years in March. I've been the director of the agency since August of 2020, appointed to that position by Governor Holcomb. Prior to that, I served 15 years, a little over 15 years, as the Indiana State Parks Director. When I left that position, I was the longest serving state park directors in Indiana's history at 15 years. The reason I bring that up, because the shelf life of the parks director is less than five. If you make it to five, they give you an award because you made it through one governor's election. It's not a job that you retire from. But I'm bringing that up to let you know that we have a lot of experience around this system. But enough about me. I want to tell you just a little bit about the agency, because most folks, when you talk about the Department of Natural Resources, it's parks. That's the number one. That's the face of what we do. That is one division out of 21 divisions. We actually have four landholding divisions within the same bureau. To the public, if there's a black sign with yellow letters, it's a park. But that's not accurate. We have state parks, we have fish and wildlife areas, we have forestry areas, we have nature preserves all within that bureau, each one with a different mission. And like I said, in the agency as a whole, we have 21 different divisions. We cover everything from cemeteries to bugs. You know, if you think the bug part is not important, if you have a winery, if you have a Christmas tree farm, you're very concerned about the bug part of it. If you have a cemetery on your property, you're concerned about the rules and regulations that go with that. So we have a lot of connections in a whole lot of different areas around the communities around the state. And here in Brown County, I mean, we have forestry, we have the park, obviously. We have TC Steel, which is no longer a part of our agency. It's with the State Museum, but we have a long history with that historic site, and we still try to help them out as much as we can. So there's a lot of things going on within this community that we partner up, this agency does, with the locals. And so we appreciate the opportunity and the dialogue.
I forgot, I had a little brain fade there. When I started to tell you that we replaced the Indiana Office of Tourism Development, getting visitors is still important, but the governor and lieutenant governor did expand our mission. So in addition to telling that story to get visitors to come, we're telling the same quality of life story to help stop the brain drain, to help attract talent back into our state and new talent to our state. And the third area is really to help keep our graduates that come from everywhere to go, our colleges and universities. How do we give them an experience that says, after you graduate, you can stay in Indiana, and we've got jobs for you, we've got great communities for you to live in. So those are kind of the three pillars, visitors, talent, and graduate retention. Sorry.
Oh, I think that's terrific. I really love it. So thank you all for being here. I do just want to do a quick summary here about the past 10, 15 years, because as we think about how much Brown County has grown and changed, it is our opportunity to share that natural beauty with visitors, and our tourism sector has seen historic growth. The Brown County Innkeeper's Tax annual collections have reached a new record high of $1.3 million in 2023. And some of that is thanks to these critical new investments from businesses that are attracting more visitors. And that includes some of our obvious ones, the creation of the Music Center, Hartree Hills and Big Woods, creation of an indoor water park at the Brown County, at the Martin Lodge at the Brown County State Park. We have a riverfront alcohol license program, and as well as significant renovations and investments to two of our downtown hotels at the Seasons and the Brown County Inn. We've also seen significant preservation in our historic landmarks. That includes a brand new Brown County History Center, the expansion of the art gallery, remodeling just very recently at the Brown County Art Guild, expansion out at the TC Steel site, and also a lot of community investment right here at the Brown County Playhouse. And we've also increased our infrastructure to be more of an outdoor adventure destination. So we have added, again, it seems like it's been a while, but it's only been about 10 or 15 years that we have the mountain bike network that goes through the state park and beyond. We have Salt Creek Trail, which is a paved walk near Brown County. We have some through walks, such as the Tecumseh Trail, and the creation of more walking and biking trails within our state nature preserves, as well as in some of the trusts, like the Sycamore Trust, and as well as a couple of new outdoor adventure parks where I have things like zip lining and paintball type of things. So when you put all of those things together, we really have so many wonderful assets, and those are just things that really are new or expanded and improved in the last 10, 15 years. So when we started to put this list together, I was impressed. So I just want to kind of start with a question here. As the CPB is going through this re-envisioning process, you know, how can we embrace these opportunities and leverage some of these assets? So we'll start here with Elaine. What can we do to use some of these things we've talked about?
Well, obviously, you can't keep it under a bushel basket. You've got to tell your story, and that's sometimes the hardest thing to do, but congratulations to Eric and 360 Group for the great results that you're having. And telling your story via those types of media is really what you need to do. When you look at this area of the state, with Brown County as probably the whole of Brown County, really visitors and tourism ends up being one of your largest industries. There are other industries here as well, but for Nashville in particular, you're really looking at visitors coming and spending their dollars here. And the importance of getting the visitors here, as was already mentioned, I think by Brian, that you know, the more visitors, the more innkeeper's tax, which means the more money you can spend to tell your story and to actually add to some amenities and things like that. But the bigger part about that is those same amenities that you've got here are also the quality of life for your residents. And so you need the visitors to help support those quality of life assets for your residents. So it's kind of one of these circles that you're finding yourself going in. You know, spending more money, you get more money, you can help all of the residents have a higher level of quality of life. So I think it's important to continue to tell that story. And you know, if you stop telling the story, you will stop getting visitors here. And eventually, it may not happen right away, your income tax will go down, your funding for all of your small businesses will go down, and eventually someone could go out of business. So you really want to have that vibrant community where people want to come and want to spend their dollars. So telling your story is the best way to do that.
Well, one aspect of our story is the tremendous history that we have here of what I think makes Brown County different than other counties. I mean, a lot of places have distilleries and breweries and wineries and shops and restaurants. We have this amazing story of these artists who came here 100 years ago and mixed with, you know, a population of Indiana in 1907 was really Indiana 1840. That's what these artists found when they came here. And so you have organizations here that date back to that. It's one of the most romantic, interesting, fascinating stories. And it's accessible through the TC Steele site, through the Brown County Art Gallery, and through the Art Guild, and even like the New Bartley House has really focused on Frank Hohenberger and the murals in town. And I think this story really is an important part. And it brings a clientele here that maybe they can't go ziplining or mountain bike riding, but they're very interested in high quality art. And whether they can buy it or just enjoy it, we have a lot of visitors that live here that come in, that take our classes. But in answering this culture problem, you know, in Indiana, we're a good place to do business, but some people don't find it a great place to live. So we can, the arts in this community can fill in that cultural gap. We offer something, you know, for the spirit and the soul and the beauty, and that story has to be a main part of the future.
Well, then, think about those of you that are from here, why you stayed here. Those of you who have moved here, why did you move here? And I've brought people from all over the country to Brown County State Park, and the reception is always the same. I never knew that was there. The Vice President of the United States' son could have been married anywhere, probably on the planet, that he wanted to. And Secret Service wanted him to get married at Camp David, and they were married at the park because of what is there. You know, I spent 20 years in private sector before coming to government. I came in under Governor Daniels. He brought a bunch of business leaders in. I was one of them in the state. But I can say Scott and Larry have been around this system for a while. They can tell you I was not a popular guy when we got here. You know, I can remember telling my staff we're going to start running this organization on business principles because in 2005 we were looking at closing 11 parks and we're bleeding to death financially. And I can still remember, and I won't mention her name because she's down here a lot, but she said, you can't run this like a business. We don't make a product. Incorrect. We're in a memory-making business. We've been doing it for 100 years. We're very, very good at it. We have the perfect product. All we've got to do is not screw it up. And so being able to take what we have here, I mean, any one of these things in this community, from a visitation standpoint, is a one-day business, the park maybe a two or three at best. When you get all these things, when you take all the sites that are located here, and just the sites of just strolling downtown, you've got a week-long destination. There's a myth out there that we make our best revenue from the gate at Brown County State Park. That's not true. I make money when you spend the night. In the last 20 years, the inn over here has paid this community $2.3 million in innkeeper's tax since 1990. We get 750,000 visitors a year, but 78% of those visitors are Hoosiers. You know, I've heard in the community, well, we don't want to be Gatlinburg. Folks, you're not going to be Gatlinburg. You're going to make Hoosiers happy. Because anywhere you go in this state, you can go to the region, you can go to Steuben County, people understand what Brown County is. And it's a special place on this landscape. And you have to make sure that you're taking advantage of that opportunity. Obviously, preserving the resource, making sure that it's there for the next generations. But I was telling Scott earlier, I said, you know, I can accomplish 50% of my mission just by locking the gate. You want conservation? Problem solved. That's not what we're here for. We're the caretakers of these properties, but they belong to you and they belong to the public. And we want to create that experience that makes you want to come back. I've been to Disney a bunch of times and spent a king's ransom doing it because of the memories that are made there with my family. And we do the same thing here. Think about the photographs in your albums at home, the old Kodachromes. with your grandparents that were taken at these properties. It's the memories. And that's a remarkable thing if you take advantage of it. I'm sorry.
I might add something to what Lynn said. You know, all of those stories are appropriate, and they just need to be told to the right target market. Because your story of history, I think people, when they get past the childbearing years and beyond that, history becomes more important. You kind of look back and you enjoy those kinds of things, both physically, not being able maybe to zip line and that kind of stuff. So all you do is target that message, you know, to the right audience, and that's exactly what 360 Group is probably expert at doing, in getting that right message out. So there's different demographics and different messages, but I will tell you, Brown County has it all. I mean, so you can look at every different demographic in the population and have something appealing that you just need to share with them to get them down here to enjoy.
Yeah, one thing I'll mention real quick, there's always a battle, Scott, and this people tell you this. There's bragging rights in the park system. Who had the biggest visitation this year? And it's always, almost always, a three-way battle between Indiana Dunes State Park, the park here, and Brookville. And, you know, think about this, folks. They got the big pond up there at Indiana Dunes. They got a huge reservoir over Brookville. You have just a lot of stuff. And you're always in there, either number one or number two in visitation every year, with just the natural landscape.
All right, well, thank you. I think, Dan, I want to direct this at you and start there. This leads very naturally from what you were saying. What are some opportunities from your agency that we could use to partner with Brown County that would help us innovate and grow that tourism market?
The partnership with the local communities are critical to our success. They really are. You know, when we were excited beyond compare when we heard that the new music center was going in, especially so close to our gate, because people need a place to stay. People need a place to eat dinner beforehand. And we know if we can get people into Brown County, at some point, they're going to make their way to the property over there. And so whether it's, you know, we've toyed with doing trolleys between Our Truth and the property, getting people downtown. We've talked about just doing trolleys down here. In Madison, we do that at Clifty. We run trolleys between the lodge and the local community and things. So, anything that you can think of in terms of partnering, we are happy to listen to. Because there again, if people stay in the community, they're going to, as they say, you know, rising tide lifts all ships. And that's what we're looking for.
Well, I can actually add to that. About 3 years ago, during COVID, one of our artists, Timothy Greatbatch, started out with 2 years painting all the vistas in the park, but because of COVID, it ended up being 3 years. After 2 years, he had 50 paintings, and after 3 years, he had 90. And we were going to conduct an exhibit and a sale at the gallery, you know, for 90 paintings. So what I did is I went to the CBB and I said, okay, this is a really well-known, highly prized artist. These paintings are spectacular. How do we, you know, market this? And they said, oh, we have the Vista Challenge in the park where people go and take their pictures. Well, it really hadn't taken off very well. So we partnered up and we set up a competition. You went to the park, to a vista, you took your picture in the frame, you sent it to the CBB's YouTube channel. Then you came to the gallery and you found the vista that Tim painted and you took a picture in front of that. And then you went to the CBB and you were eligible for a prize. And it was a t-shirt and it was based with Tim's painting. He's the only artist I know of that ever got a t-shirt for his work. And then he donated a print, which they auctioned off. They ran out of t-shirts, 100 t-shirts in the first week. When we opened our sale of Tim's paintings, 90 paintings in 3 months, we sold $225,000 worth of paintings in 3 months. Now, the bulk of that went to the artists, but certainly the gallery benefited from a commission. So partnerships can work. Art can sell. History can sell. It's not just, you know, a boring thing people go and look at. It's a very live, vibrant thing. And there's collaboration that can take place amongst any group here with a series of partners?
Well, the Indiana Destination Development Corporation really has a lot of free resources that you can tap into. We got a larger budget, a whole other story, from the legislature. We started out with only $4 million, we're up to $20 million. We need 40, but we got 20. And we put a lot of that into some free resources and marketing it to support the rest of the state, and particularly through the Destination Marketing Organizations, or your CDB. First of all, we've got a whole photo gallery, which, Eric, you need to know about, photo gallery and video gallery that we have shot all over the state that's free to use. So if you're trying to put something together, or any business, any entity, if you want to put photos together in your brochure or whatever, just go there, download it, it's free. And I think they're pretty good. We've also done co-ops. So with a lot of communities or destination marketing organizations, they put in $50,000, we put in $50,000, and together we put a marketing plan together. We do all the work as far as making sure the videos are together for your purpose. We help buy the media to get it out. So instead of just having $50,000, you've got $100,000 out there marketing your community. And we love that, because if we're marketing Nashville, we're still marketing the state of Indiana. So it works as a win-win for both of us. Any events that you have down here, you can list them free on our website. There's just an events website that people check on a regular basis. And we push media out on events coming up around the state. So we put that out. And if you have tickets you want to give away, we do ticket giveaways, and everybody loves those. They really start clicking in and checking out the venues where they come from. Every year we do a travel guide. And the travel guide is an opportunity for the destination marketing organizations, other events, other businesses, to put a small ad or a big ad within the travel guide. So that's something that you buy your ad, but that helps pay for the travel guide, obviously, as well. And then we do digital promotions, where you can buy in for some of our digital opportunities to put your restaurant or your venue, whatever, into all of our viewers that we get. So check out visitindiana.com, which is our website, and go to Partner Resources, and all of this is here. Oh, one of the things, we have a donut video. And we did 11 different donut videos for each section around the state. And basically what that is we do the front part with some video and the back part. You put your message in the middle. And so it can become yours, but you didn't have to spend money on all the other parts of it. And that's, again, a free resource that you can do. And if you say, well, I don't know how to do the video part to add my part in there, we can help you do that as well. So just check that out if you're thinking about doing anything like that, and save yourself some dollars. And again, if it's not the right photo and it's not there, then you can spend your dollars, but otherwise save those to buy the media.
Licensed images that you can use. That's great.
Absolutely. And really, businesses, associations, anybody and everybody is welcome to use that.
Moving on to another issue here is about organizational change and professional growth. The CVB is transforming, and we know that leadership development, nonprofit board development, and organizational professionalism are going to be critical to the success of the CVB in the future. And each of you have some experience leading your organization through some significant organizational changes. Can you tell us a little bit about how those changes have shaped your success and what lessons Brown County tourism leaders could learn from your experiences? So, Lynn, why don't you start us off?
Well, those of you who have lived here for over 10 years probably remember the Brown County Art Gallery as that small little place on the hill with a parking lot, and had kind of an area where they had some old paintings, and then they had few artists that paid to hang on the wall, and I can remember going in there and seeing the gallery manager and an assistant sitting around a space heater because they couldn't turn the furnace on because they didn't have the money to pay the bill. So it was in pretty dire straits. A group of us here in the county got together because we love the history of Brown County Art, and the art gallery was the gallery that these early artists founded in 1926. And it has a beautiful collection of permanent pieces, and we thought, here's a great asset that's not being used. And we got organized. We formed a strong board. We also brought in other stakeholders. The key thing that happened was that the gallery was owned by the Art Association, which had lost its nonprofit status. So it was a corporation under, you know, the General Corporation of Indiana. And therefore was it was supposed to be taxes and you know, property taxes, you know, I don't know if they were or not, but anyway, we got them to transition the corporation over to a foundation. The property, the paintings, and the buildings. Now we're in a position as a board to go out and raise money and, you know, kind of build up an organization around us. We set out with smaller shows, and we reached out at an event called Collector Showcase, where we would go out to people who had beautiful paintings in their homes. The best art are not in museums, they're in people's homes. And we asked if we could borrow them and put them on exhibit and then charge them money to come and see them. And we built up a relationship with these individuals who began to see, you know, here's a great story here. I actually own art by these artists. We need to support this really important historical icon. And with those people come donations and come leadership and build an expertise. And so, you know, as you're changing over any kind of an organization, you've got to pick board members that are actually going to do something for you. And we have people on our boards right now, they don't know anything about art, they don't even particularly like it. But we have a CPA, we have an attorney, we have a doctor, and we laugh, we have a funeral director, so we are. But these people all bring different skills to the board, and they have connections to reach out to others. So when you come up into hard questions, like adding 8,000 square feet, and how are you going to go out and raise that money? Well, because of all of the collectors and the people who got them vested in the gallery, we relied on our history. Every exhibit we did, we had a catalog that told the story of Marie and Carey or Will Vodder crying in the Disney movie, and we had beautiful art on display. You get them hooked into what you're doing, and man, we raised $1.7 million. We used Steve Miller, who is Dale Basir, one of the early artists' grandson. We used local electricians. We used all local people, and our volunteer, Bob Stevens, who's on our board. He was one of these generous donors, acted as a general contractor. We brought it in under budget, the completion, 8,000 square feet under budget, which let us remodel the entire old gallery as well. And the result of that is expanded exhibits. This year we've had the Indiana Watercolor Society, the Indiana Planar Painter Society, we have the Printers Guild of Indiana, we have the Indiana Artist Club in there right now, and coming next week we have Check It Out with John Mellencamp. So when you tell a story and you stick with a mission, good things happen. And so I think we need a CVB board that is strong, that represents all the stakeholders in the community, including the nonprofits. Even though we sold $225,000 worth of our yearly budget is that much and more. And so, you know, we only got a portion of that. So, you know, all the nonprofits, the History Center, the Guild, the TC Steel Site, even though it's a museum based, they still have a great story to tell. Bill Monroe, that great story is there. There's so many interesting, you know, things here that if they're represented on the board and are supported, just like all the shops and the other the hotels and so forth, and then this board comes up with a message, you know, what is it we want, what defines us, who are we, and then you have a staff with a director and marketing, and I think you need a business person on there to execute the message and the design that the board has. And it sure worked for us, so.
I encourage you to work together. I'm going to switch hats a little bit. I spent three terms on a county council in Lawrence County, and I currently am a city councilman in the city of Bedford, serving a second term. I know how difficult it is to fund your dreams. I understand that. Make sure that the community is headed in the same direction. If that's not the case, if you're heading in several different directions, it makes it very, very difficult to get anything done. It really does. Remember that my generation, when you got out of school, whether it's high school or college or whatever, you went where the job was, and you stayed for 30 years, you took your gold watch, and you went home. That's not what we see out of the generation today. They decide where they want to live. Then they go without finding a job. And who wouldn't want to live here? So you're going to have new faces come into this community, new talents, new opportunities. And so I encourage you to embrace those new values, those new things that come in. I understand that there's a history here of how things are done, and that's wonderful. It's been very, very successful. I mean, I put it up against any place in the state. But I just encourage you to make sure that, like I said, you're all headed in the same direction. And when it comes to tourism, which obviously is the greatest opportunity in this community, that CVB can be the link to the outside world. It can be the link to the different organizations and state government. It can be the link to other communities. So I just encourage you to embrace that.
I don't know that I can add too much to what they've already said, because I totally agree. You've got to have every opinion at the table, every viewpoint from every stakeholder at the table, and just work through any differences and come down to what you really want to have as your story. And what you really want to publicize and where you feel you can get the best benefit. And that may be taking surveys, it may be looking at return on dollars. One thing I didn't get to mention earlier, if you're wondering that kind of return you get on spending dollars to get visitors here, we had a study done of our spring-summer campaign in 2023, and for every dollar that we spent promoting the state of Indiana, we had 10 new tax dollars come in to local and state taxes. So that's a big impact. I keep telling the legislators, we are a profit center for the state of Indiana, so give us more money, bring even more dollars back. But, you know, so get a plan in place that you think you can all work. But the only thing I would say is don't let perfection stand in the way of progress. I mean, you really just need to keep moving forward and finding that path forward. But beautiful community here, and you just want to keep it shining as bright as you can, and I think all of that's in your hands, and you'll do a great job of it.
We are getting close to an hour, so I'm going to ask a question that came from Andy Bartels, actually. And her father played an important part in developing our current tourism model here. And one of the challenges that we're always facing in Brown County is balancing our tourism with our local population's desire to keep that small town feel. And if you look back in 1907, it was the same tension, really. But how can we do that? Do you have any suggestions on how other communities have been able to balance those two needs? Let's start with Lynn.
Well, I think your small town feel comes from the people. I mean, you know, when we had done Hoosier by Choice videos. We interviewed a lot of people who came here from somewhere else. And, you know, they may have come for a job, whatever it might be, but they all tell us a lot of things about why they came. I can buy a house here. My kids can get in sports here. I can advance my career here. But almost all of them said, it's the people. I feel comfortable here. They're welcoming. I can get engaged in the community really quickly because people are open to allowing me to do that. So I don't think it's so much the size as it is the people and the culture that you've grown here. And, you know, Hoosier hospitality is real in Indiana. And I think that's what makes it stay that way. And if you lose that, then maybe you do start feeling like you're in a big city and you don't know anybody. But, you know, Indianapolis is known as a big small town as well. And I think we can all keep that here in the whole state of Indiana by just concentrating on not losing our Hoosier hospitality.
Make a real concerted effort at the gallery to include our residents and our visitors. First of all, we have free admission. We charge nothing. So you can see a museum-grade exhibition for absolutely nothing. We provide children's art camps, 4 weeks of art camps. We started a program in January that I actually went around and begged our board members to sign up for because I thought it wasn't going to be successful. It was called Make Art, Make Friends, and it was for people 55 and older. By the way, I don't know if you know, we're the oldest county by demographics in Indiana. We have a lot of retired people here. And the idea of this, and we got a $10,000 grant from the Indiana Arts Commission, was not to teach anybody art, it was to get people out of isolation and loneliness after COVID. We put it out on a Thursday, and it's 4 months, and you met twice a week from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. We paid for all the paint supplies and whatever the project was. Each month had a different subject, and you could sign it by the month or all 4 months. And we provided lunch. Well, we burned through that $10,000 in lunch at first, because by Monday, all 4 months were gone, and we had waiting lists of 20 people per session of people wanting to get in. So by the end of it, we had over 100 people, and we thought it would be maybe people from the senior citizen center or maybe the nursing home. We had transportation available for them. No, these are people who lived all around in the county. They formed this huge group now, and they call themselves the Make Friends, and they go to all different art events. They're painting all the time, and we held an exhibition at the end of the show, at the end of the classes in May. And at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, we had 100 people show up, their grandkids, their husbands, their wives, to see the art on exhibit. And they're after us now. We're working to arrange funding to continue this. They just say it was life-changing. It was just this simple thing that we did as a group. And you know, anybody out there can invite the community in. If you have eager people out there, you just have to give them the opportunity. And certainly with children, you know, especially with daycare, is the problematic as it is. Our art camps filled up in a hurry. So there is opportunity. You just have to think about it and reach out, and maybe there could be a category at the CVB for just those kinds of activities, you know, for local people. Here's your local page on here. Here's what's going on for you.
We've heard this in other communities as well. We don't want to get too big. Folks, you could spend your entire life worrying about a problem that may not ever happen. I was on a weightlifting team once, and I can still remember a guy telling me, I don't want to lift too much, I may get muscle bound. Dude, don't worry about that, you'll be fine. So, there again, I mean, if you have rules or regulations in your community that will limit or expand growth as you see fit, your local government entities can do that. Worry about making it a place where people want to be. Like I said, 78% of the visitors that you get here, at least through our case, are Hoosiers. They aren't interested in necessarily moving here, maybe some level of retirement, but they're here to enjoy what this area has to offer, whether it be natural resources, cultural resources, or just having a good time. I mean, Mrs. Bortner wears me out walking these streets, and we've been here 1,000 times, and we'll come back 1,000 more times because it's just such a great experience. So like I said, don't worry too awful much about getting too big. If that becomes a problem, send them my way. We'll take them to their property.
One more thing. I keep adding one more thing, don't I? I would encourage the Convention Visitors Bureau, we call them destination marketing organizations, to really be strong partners with the state. We have very strong ties with all of the DMOs around the state, which is SOIN, Southern Indiana, up in the Dunes area. We work with them on a regular basis, so keep in touch. When you get everything pulled together, keep in touch with us and use us. We have grants that we give out every year for different projects. All these things are available, but if you don't know about it, if you haven't stayed connected, you won't know it. We just won't be able to get the message out to you, but we're here to help. And so use the state and the state's resources as much as you can. I really encourage that. We have had some destination marketing organizations around the state who just don't talk to us. They're trying to do it on their own, and we could provide them so much free services and free help, they have to be willing to kind of step up and work with us. So I encourage them.
It's great. I'm glad we're in on the partnership. That's great. As we wrap up, do you have any final words of encouragement or advice for the folks who are here and our tourism leaders as they begin this transformational journey? So let's start with Elaine.
Be thoughtful. Be respectful. Really put your best foot forward to get a plan that you think can help everybody. And again, I love what Dan just said. Don't worry about getting too big. There's ways to take care of that. Worry about being successful and worry about being a great place that people want to come and visit, that people want to live as well, because they don't want to visit here if they don't think they want to live here. Those go hand in hand, and I think that'll be successful.
I would say think about partnerships. You know, you can find ways to work. A business could work with us. We were just talking with Melanie Boland about the History Center and their activities. They knew there's no reason that couldn't partner with us at the gallery with an accompanying exhibitor, with the steel site, moving some of the activities up there. Why couldn't we tie in with certain businesses and get other artisans? You know, there's ways that we can cross promote with each other, and maybe things that don't necessarily seem real obvious. I kind of pitched to the WTIU was doing a thing on Major Taylor, a video premiering that movie at the gallery, because we have, maybe the mountain bikers would come. We could partner with a bike shop, you know. So, you know, kind of think outside the box, be creative, pay attention to who's in town, what the businesses are. You know, learn about the nonprofits that are here. We're really cool. We're free. So think about, you know, different ways to partner your business, your organization with someone else.
Probably the one piece of advice I would offer is don't be afraid to make mistakes. Swing the bat. You know, it's easy not to get in trouble in this world, just don't do anything. And that's no way to go through life. I mean, I imagine, if you will, I came in, like I said, under Mitch Daniels' administration when we were reducing the size of government by vast amounts. Imagine me sitting in there with him and saying, Mr. Governor, I think we need to build an indoor water park. It's not been done anywhere in the nation. There's never been a state park's lives that had an indoor water park. How about we spend $5 million while we're cutting everything else to do this? And I can still remember him saying, would you stake your career on it? Well, I guess I just did. But we needed a way. You know, people put their campers up the 1st of November. I'm still paying bills in February. I need a way to bring people to that property in the off-season months. And so we built an indoor aquatic center. I told the governor we'd have it pay for itself in 5 years, it paid for itself in 3 years. That could have been a colossal mistake. I didn't think it would be, but it's done well. So where I'm going with this is that, you know, I tell my team all the time, don't be afraid to make a mistake, folks. If you're not making mistakes, you're not hustling. Now, heaven help you if you make the same one twice, so much you learn from it. But don't be afraid to, you know, make a decision collectively as a community and swing the bat. You can always go back and do it the other way if it doesn't work.
Very good. Thank you all. As I said, we promised to be respectful of your time, so we're going to wrap it up here. I want to thank all of our speakers here today. Let's give them a round of applause. Wisdom as we're doing this. I'm really glad we're having this conversation. I think it's good. I also want to thank all of you for coming this evening, engaging in this conversation. It takes a village, and we're the village, and we've got to take care of each other, so it's important. And, you know, we have people here in so many different roles. We have volunteer board members, we have artisans, actors, business leaders, service workers, bartenders, musicians, cooks, janitors, housekeepers, front desk staff, hostesses, maintenance workers, state park employees, lifeguards, and visitor center hosts. All of those are important roles within our community, and we want to make sure that we're a place that those folks can live and work, and also that our visitors have a great experience. We want to continue the conversation, so this isn't the end. As I said, there are some pieces of paper at the back. Please write your questions on those, and we will be addressing those at the next meetings that we have. They're going to be smaller, and they're going to be more discussion-based. I also want to thank Scott Rudd, who really was a driver, I think, in pulling this together today, so I appreciate that. And I also want to thank Josh and Danya and Carolyn for having us here at the Playhouse. So let's thank them as well.